This is the South America Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the South America Debrief by Atlas News, where we delve into the biggest stories of the region and give you an in-depth breakdown and analysis. Colombia is facing a period of political unrest as recent events highlight the deep divisions within the country. This unrest comes in the form of large-scale protests and clashes between the government and opposition groups. To understand the situation, we need to examine the key events and actors involved. On International Women's Day, Colombian feminists marched in Bogota for gender equality, reproductive rights, and an end to violence against women. These are long-standing issues in Colombia, and many women feel unheard and unprotected by the government. The march was met with resistance from police, who reportedly used tear gas to disperse the crowds. This heavy-handed response by the authorities has been condemned by human rights groups and even some government officials, including the Ministry of Labor. These tensions flow into a larger context of opposition to President Gustavo Petro's policies. Just days before the Women's Day march, large protests erupted in Bogota and other cities against Petro's agenda. These protests were led by right-wing groups who disagree with Petro's plans for social and economic reform, particularly his flagship policy of total peace with leftist rebel groups. Petro's total peace plan aims to end a decades-long civil war with the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, and the National Liberation Army, ELN. These groups have been responsible for violence and instability in rural areas of Colombia for many years. Petro hopes to achieve peace agreements that will disarm these groups and integrate them back into Colombian society. However, Petro's plan is controversial. Critics argue that it is too lenient on the rebel groups, who have committed atrocities in the past. They also fear that a peace deal could embolden criminal organizations like Clan del Golfo, a successor to right-wing paramilitary groups who profit from drug trafficking and violence. Both FARC and ELN have long histories of armed conflict with the Colombian government. FARC, originally a leftist peasant movement, became notorious for kidnappings, extortion, and involvement in the drug trade. The ELN, formed by communist students and academics, primarily operated in urban areas and funded their operations through similar means. While peace talks with these groups have been attempted before, they have often fallen apart. Petro's success in negotiating ceasefires has given some hope for a lasting peace. However, many Colombians remain skeptical, especially those who have been directly affected by the violence. Adding to the complexity of the situation is Petro's own past as a member of the M19 guerrilla group in his youth. His critics see this as a conflict of interest, suggesting that his peace plan is more about leniency towards former rebels than genuine peace building. Colombia finds itself at a crossroads. The desire for peace after decades of conflict is pitted against concerns about security and justice. President Petro's ambitious agenda faces strong opposition, and the recent protests highlight the deep divisions within Colombian society. Whether his policies can bring about lasting peace and reform or further inflame tensions remains to be seen. Next, Haiti is on the brink of collapse. Gang violence, a recent mass prison break, and a stalled political process have plunged the nation into chaos. In response, the Caribbean community, CARICOM, held an emergency meeting in Kingston, Jamaica, with representatives from Canada, France, the United Nations, the United States, and Haiti itself. The central theme of the meeting was the importance of Haitian-led solutions to the crisis. While international support is crucial, lasting peace can only come from within Haiti. Broad-based leadership. Almost all speakers, including representatives from the U.S., France, Canada, and Mexico, supported the creation of a broad-based independent presidential college. This suggests a new leadership structure designed to reflect the will of the Haitian people and guide the country out of crisis. There was widespread support for deploying a multinational force to Haiti. This force would presumably assist Haitian security services in restoring order and creating a safe environment for elections. Mexico also pledged to expand its training program for Haitian security forces. The United States doubled its financial commitment to Haiti, pledging $200 million in Department of Defense support and an additional $33 million for health and food security. CARICOM emphasized the need for free and fair elections as a pathway to lasting peace. However, they stressed that Haitians must be in charge of the process. The swift gathering of regional and international leaders highlights the urgency of the situation. The press conference repeatedly emphasized the need for a clear vision and rapid action regarding the deployment of a multinational force, economic aid, and political reform. The potential descent of Haiti into civil war could destabilize the entire Caribbean region. A major obstacle to peace is the flow of illegal weapons, primarily from the United States, particularly Florida. A UN report detailed how firearms are trafficked from the US and sold for exorbitant prices in Haiti. Stricter gun control measures in the US and improved enforcement at Haitian ports are crucial to stemming the flow of weapons. The future of Haiti remains uncertain. However, the CARICOM meeting demonstrates a commitment from the international community to support Haitian-led solutions. Disarming gangs, establishing a new leadership structure, and holding free and fair elections are all crucial steps towards a more stable and peaceful Haiti. Now, Argentina is facing a surge in gang violence, particularly in the city of Rosario, Santa Fe province. This has prompted a strong response from the national government, with echoes of a similar strategy used in El Salvador. The recent killings of taxi drivers, a gas station worker, and a bus driver in Rosario have shaken the city. These murders are attributed to narco gangs who are attempting to intimidate the provincial governor, Maximiliano Pujaro, from implementing a controversial new prison system. Governor Pujaro's proposed reforms are inspired by those enacted by Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador. Bukele's Bukele-style prison system involves stricter measures, including limitations on family visits and cell phone use for inmates. These reforms are credited with a dramatic decrease in gang violence in El Salvador. In response to the recent violence, Rosario residents have staged a citywide protest. Schools, businesses, and public services shut down for the day, with residents banging pots and pans to demand an end to the gang violence. President Javier Milei has responded to the crisis by deploying 450 federal security personnel to Rosario. Additionally, a crisis committee comprised of federal security officials and the military has been established. Furthermore, President Milei is proposing an anti-mafia bill that would hold entire gangs accountable for the crimes of individual members. The situation in Rosario highlights the growing influence of narco gangs in Argentina and the challenges of tackling gang violence. While El Salvador's reforms appear to have been successful, it's important to note that such a heavy-handed approach can raise human rights concerns. Additionally, these gangs are well-armed and well-funded, meaning they are unlikely to relinquish control easily. The coming months will be crucial for Argentina. The success of the security measures in Rosario and the fate of the proposed anti-mafia bill will be closely watched. Whether Argentina can replicate El Salvador's success in reducing gang violence remains to be seen. Next, El Salvador is a country sharply divided. Gangs, particularly MS-13, have terrorized the nation for decades. However, a recent arrest of a high-ranking MS-13 leader and the ongoing crackdown by President Nayib Bukele raise complex questions about security, human rights, and the country's future. In a significant blow to MS-13, Hector Oswaldo González Pérez, a key lieutenant known as Cruel the Western, was arrested in a joint operation between Mexican and Salvadoran authorities. This arrest is a victory for President Bukele's administration, which has vowed to dismantle gangs. Bukele's security measures include a state of emergency enacted in response to a surge in gang violence and a controversial super prison designed to isolate gang leaders. These measures have been credited with a dramatic decrease in El Salvador's murder rate. However, human rights groups criticized the tactics used, including mass detentions and limited access to legal counsel for detainees. The roots of gang violence in El Salvador lie in the country's civil war, 1979 to 1992, and the deportation of Salvadoran gang members from Los Angeles in the 1990s. MS-13, notorious for its brutality, and Barrio 18 are the two dominant gangs, vying for control and terrorizing civilians. Bukele, a charismatic outsider politician, capitalized on public frustration with traditional parties' inability to address gang violence. Elected in 2019, he has enjoyed widespread support due to the perceived success of his crackdown. However, his re-election in 2024, achieved through controversial changes to the Constitution, has raised concerns about democratic backsliding. Further complicating the picture is Bukele's adoption of Bitcoin as legal tender in 2021. This move, intended to boost the economy and break free from external influences, has had limited success and drawn criticism from the International Monetary Fund, IMF. El Salvador's future remains uncertain. While Bukele enjoys popular support for his get-tough approach to gangs, the human rights implications and the erosion of democratic institutions are cause for concern. The success of El Salvador's gang crackdown in the long term, and the fate of Bukele's Bitcoin experiment, are issues to be watched closely. Finally, tensions have flared between Argentina and Venezuela, leading to a dramatic closure of Venezuelan airspace to all Argentinian flights. This move follows the seizure of a Venezuelan cargo plane in Argentina at the request of the United States. Venezuelan authorities announced the closure of their airspace to Argentina in response to the seizure of a Conviasa Boeing 747 cargo plane earlier this year. Chancellor Evan Gill called the move an act of piracy and accused Argentina of being subservient to the United States. Venezuela is demanding compensation for the seized aircraft, valued at $80 million. The controversy centers on a Venezuelan cargo plane grounded in Argentina in 2022. The plane, purchased from Iran, was eventually transferred to the U.S. and dismantled by authorities. Venezuela claims the U.S. actions were vandalism. The U.S., however, alleges the plane's purchase violated sanctions against both Venezuela and Iran. This incident is the latest blow to relations between Argentina and Venezuela. The recent election of Argentina's president Javier Milei, known for his anti-communist views, has fueled tensions. Milei has publicly criticized communist governments and desires to limit relations with such countries, including Venezuela. Argentina has responded to the airspace closure by vowing to take diplomatic measures against Venezuela. President Milei's relationship with other world leaders, including Pope Francis, has been unpredictable, making the path of diplomacy uncertain. The closure of Venezuelan airspace creates significant disruption for air travel between the two countries. Negotiations to resolve the dispute over the seized plane and broader issues of political ideology will be crucial in determining the future of Argentina-Venezuela relations.